And welcome to another edition of the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z. We're so glad that you're joining us here to do this excellent radio where we share information on health, wellness, and alternative medicine today. We're so happy that you were able to take some time in your schedule to join us. Our guest will be joining us in about a few minutes, Dr. Lindsay Chmielewski. And today's show is going to be talking about the ethnobotany of Jamaican rainforest, of the Jamaican rainforest. Dr. Chmielewski, the topic that she chose is get that irate feeling. And let me talk a little bit about the Jamaican language in a bit. I'll talk about what the definition of irate is. Many of us are so familiar with Bob Marley and many of his concerts yelling, irate, irate, you know. Anyway, so get the irate feeling, discussing the amazing Eco Tours for Cures ethnobotanical excursion and botanical nervines and energy tonics of the Jamaican rainforests with our guest, Dr. Lindsay Chmielewski. And Dr. Chmielewski is a naturopathic physician with an enthralled devotion to herbal medicine, plants, fungi, and healing the root cause of illness. She's been participating in leading botanical excursions through the Jamaican jungle for over 10 years and is an avid hiker, forager, and mushroom hunter. You should see some of Dr. Chmielewski's lectures on mushrooms, which are phenomenal. Hopefully she'll be able to share her information and give that out to our listeners here. She's an experienced professor leading the botanical medicine curriculum with myself and at the University of Bridgeport, hosting clinic shifts and teaching advanced nutrition courses at the University of Bridgeport College of Naturopathic Medicine, which recently just closed. So she would be considered a professor emeritus. She has years of experience lecturing to both the public and professional at medical continuing education conferences and teaches a variety of online and in-person medicinal mushroom courses. She's an advocate for the mindfulness practice and yoga, and also has a private practice called Hawthorne Holistic Health in Hamden, Connecticut. She has a doctorate in naturopathic medicine, master's of acupuncture degree, and bachelor's degree in human development and family studies, and is a practicing licensed naturopathic physician and acupuncturist in Connecticut, and also a professional registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild. And on today's show, she's going to be discussing the Eco Tours for Cures and teaching people about why they should think about doing things like that when they take a vacation, maybe do an education vacation. So a little background on our topic today. So what does the word irate mean? Well, you know, in the Rastafarian language or knowledge, it means I stands for the union with the creator. So Ire is that union of the creator and the union of oneness and wholeness amongst people. And that would be what I would say would, it's kind of like a namaste or almost like a shalom too, peace be with you. So when the Jamaicans use Ire, they use it in different as an adjective, as a noun, as a verb, all kinds of things like that. So it's a great, great language. And in the Rastafarian sort of dialect, they use the word I to mean communication with the creator. I and I, it means I'm at union with you, who I'm addressing, and the creator and the universe. So it's a very powerful word, Ire. You might have heard that saying on t-shirts in the airport if you've ever gone to Jamaica and vacation or whatever. And Dr. Chmielewski wrote her thesis on what's called nervines of the Jamaican rainforest. So I'll start with a nervine until she joins us briefly. She had a little delay in joining us today, but she'll be on with us, cross our fingers. So the botanical nervines are plants that are safe to use and that help us with the nervous system. Now, it may be that they're helping us calm our nervous system, calm our output of catecholamines, and which are the stress hormones that we have in our bodies all the time. A lot of times we put out a lot of dopamine. Maybe we put out a little bit of it, too much adrenaline, which is now called epinephrine, right? Or norepinephrine. So sometimes when we have this output of excess stress hormones, our body can break down, because these are considered what they call catabolic hormones. They're very good for short responses to stress, like, you know, probably evolutionary, being chased by a saber-toothed tiger or some dangerous situation happening, a catastrophe. We're able to move and get out of danger, hopefully, or fight or flight or flee or freeze. Some animals freeze. And sometimes that's good if you're trying to hide from a predator. But when those stress hormones are constantly being pumped out of the body, like with continuing stress, this can lead to catabolism of the body, rapid aging. We see this when patients are put on synthetic adrenal hormones for inflammation, synthetic hormones like, for instance, cortisone, which is part of the adrenal. See, the adrenals pump out both cortisone, which is on the outside of the adrenals, and then also on the inside of the adrenals, they pump out what's called epinephrine, right? So that's kind of the interesting connection. Plus, epinephrine is a neurotransmitter in our brain. So there's a deep connection between what's going on inside your brain and inside your adrenals and the stress that we have. And of course, those stressful hormones, the epinephrine, leads to rapid heartbeat, leads to very severe changes in the blood pressure and the cardiac output, in breakdown of the tissue when this goes on and on. And we know this because when patients are put on, for instance, large doses of prednisone for a long time to adjust inflammation, they end up with very interesting phenomenon called Cushing syndrome, where they retain a lot of water, their abdomen and torso become obese, and they kind of gain fat. They lose muscle mass in the legs and arms, so they get these sort of very skinny, stick-like legs and arms. And then there's all kinds of problems that occur with the kidneys, with the tissues, with blood sugar imbalances. So all this is part of stress. And because even if we're not on synthetic hormones, like you would be if you were on prednisone for a while, and then we're not knocking prednisone. Prednisone is a life-saving drug used for emergency situations, and is very critical for our healthcare in the case of managing out of control inflammation. But you can't be on it forever. That's the problem, because then you start getting the signs and symptoms of having too much of this, too much prednisone, which is really detrimental to the body and causes a catabolism of the body as it starts to break down. So then, of course, the epinephrine, which is the other part of the adrenal, is also a problem. The epinephrine is something that, you know, we call adrenaline in the old days. And this is what gives us that superhuman strength to fight or flight or flee too, and racing heart and better vision and maybe more confused thinking, but certainly shunts the blood to the muscles from the internal organs to allow us to move, to fight, flight, or, you know, or flee. So that has benefits too. But if we're always in that state, and I can honestly say that when people are constantly on the highways driving, or they have constant stress all the time because they have a life situation that seems without end and things like that, that could be a big problem for that. So this is where we come with the idea in herbalism of how do we help the body sort of dampen this stress response, because the situation may not be going away, but we can alter the physiological response for how we act or react with these particular things. So anyway, it's really interesting that these nervines have become very important to botanical medicine. And this is something that people should be using on a daily basis, where they can keep their nervous system sort of chilled out. Again, that IRA feeling, like they say in Jamaica. And if they can do that, then you can actually help people rebuild the adrenals. So when I talk about the adrenals, and when I would lecture, for instance, with Dr. Chmielewski to the naturopathic students, I'd often use the analogy of the ATM machine and our checking account. So when the adrenals become exhausted and they cannot meet the demands of the stress, they then have an issue where they're pumping out all this adrenaline, and eventually they become depleted. So we see this sometimes when we see the initial stages of stress and a person that needs these nervines. It's like the ATM analogy or the checking account analogy of keep bouncing checks. It's like they're out of control with their spending and their allotment of money. So they keep bouncing checks, and they keep over withdrawing their account. So they have to stop that. And so that's where the nervines come in, because bouncing checks means the analogy would be you're always in this fight or flight response. And so the nervines come in to play there, because they kind of put they put the account at rest. Then, of course, you need to make deposits into your account. Of course, using the ATM analogy, if the account is overdrawn, you need to make, stop the check writing and then make deposits. And this is where we come up with our botanicals that are steroidal in nature, because it turns out that the steroids in nature are very good for our adrenals to kind of give our body the necessary money, so to speak, because we're kind of talking about ATM analogy, the money to reboot the or replenish the account. So that's pretty interesting. And there's a whole host of herbs that have steroidal properties that we'll cover when our host joins us, guest joins us. Then we need to, get hold of our account and invest the money wisely. That's the next part of the ATM analogy. So that's where we have herbs that are called adaptogens that come into being. And adaptogens are herbs that are sort of, well, again, they have steroidal-like molecules, many of them. There's a whole host of adaptogens that we see in the Caribbean, because adaptogens are herbs that are all around the world. There are, of course, the Caribbean is tropical, so each culture around the world seems to have their own kind of adaptogen or Sometimes they refer to adaptogens as tonics. Sometimes they refer to adaptogens as, herbs that balance the system, whether it's high or low, herbs that can be used every day to normalize the physiology, whether it's high or low. So if the adrenals are low, it's going to help with balancing those adrenal hormones. Or if the adrenals are too high and you're outputting too much of those, that adrenaline, it's going to balance that out. So these adaptogens are very interesting. We know them from adaptogens that kind of grow in the northern area many times. Like, of course, the most famous adaptogen on the planet is ginseng, or even Siberian ginseng, which they now call Eleutherococcus. But it turns out that there's an adaptogen that comes from fungus, and that is the reishi mushroom, which has the ganodermic acids in it. Reishi is one of those herbs, or actually it's a mushroom, so it's not an herb, it's a fungi, that has these properties of balancing the body and also calming the mind too, which is very important, and is one of the few mushroom adaptogens that are out there. But there's plenty of adaptogens that grow in the tropical regions of the world. One of the other real famous ones from India, doesn't grow in Jamaica, but grows in India, is called ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is a very important one that we call Latin withania somniferum. And ashwagandha can be used every day. It takes a little while to kick in. I would say using ashwagandha for about 3 months before you say it doesn't work would be pretty accurate. But ashwagandha, although it is a tropical herb from India, doesn't really grow in Jamaica native. Even though there were lots of people of Indian descent that came over to Jamaica, there's no evidence that they brought ashwagandha with them, which I found interesting studying the ethnobotany of Jamaica. So, but another one that comes up that's very interesting is holy basil. And the Jamaicans have their own type of holy basil, which they call duppy basil, and a duppy is a spirit. So they say that when you drink this holy basil tea, I mean, just to backtrack, a lot of the holy basil is grown in many Hindu temples throughout the tropical world, like in India. And it, if you drink it, it's said to bring not only a meditative state and an excellent nervine, but to help you communicate with spirits, your ancestors, other people. And so a duppy in Jamaica, they call it duppy basil. A duppy is your ancestors. So when you drink this tea, it puts you in a nice meditative state. Again, that Ire feeling that allows you to kind of communicate with yourself, with the ancestors, and other people, including your own higher self. So that's one of those really interesting plants that we encounter when we're down in Jamaica. Also, when you're trying to rebuild the adrenals, you need some tonics. And so there was another herb that's very interesting called sarsaparilla. Now, of course, sarsaparilla has been touted to be a men's tonic, but there's really no evidence that the glycosides, which are steroid components of that particular plant, will actually build testosterone, even though it's purported to do so in the folkloric literature. But nonetheless, it's used in what's called the Roots Man Tonic, which is a very interesting plant decoction or tea that's made in Jamaica. And Roots Man Tonic can be drank every day. to build up what's to build up the back. And but mostly I found that it has these steroidal like properties to kind of build up the adrenal glands. So that's sort of another kind of Nervine slash kind of getting into an energy tonic that we find in the Jamaican rainforest. So then, of course, you have some other interesting plants that are actually well studied to build muscle and increase the strength of tendons and ligaments in Jamaica. And one of those plants is called devil's ass whip. And that's because they used to use it to kind of whip along the donkey a little bit, and has these barbs. So, you know, it's not, it doesn't hurt the donkey, but it just kind of gets them motivated to move. And that is a very interesting plant because that has these compounds which have been studied and purported to have helped Olympians actually break records. So I think it's become a banned substance in the Olympics, but that contains a steroid called ectosterone, which one of my other students did his thesis on the use of ectosterones to build muscle. Now, when elders suffer from problems, there are issues with muscle mass that happen. And unfortunately, that can lead to their ability to not be able to stay active and to fall, become a fall risk. So people that can fall easily can, of course, break bones and things like that, and they call that sarcopenia. So one of the things that this devil's ass whip does, and the genus and species, if you want to look it up, is called Acaranthus, A-C-H-Y-R-A-N-T-H-E-S, Acaranthus. In China, they call it the ox knee because it gives your knees the strength of the ox. So that's kind of interesting to see that in the Jamaican culture and the Chinese culture, there's similarities. Ox knee, it turns out that the muscles of the legs can become stronger, and that helps elders be able to stand, and is very tonic to the muscles. So we're going to take a break and see what's going on with our guest here. As I and I'll certainly be happy to just continue the program if we can't get her. So we'll play a natural medicine chest and a couple of PSAs, and we'll return with more of the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z as we talk about some of the herbs found in Jamaica that give us the irate feeling and some of the energy herbs that we need to make it through the holiday season. Okay, we'll take our break now, and we'll see you in a couple minutes.
Medicine chest, we'll discuss jojoba, the miracle plant of the desert.
Jojoba is spelled J-O-J-O-B-A, but is pronounced according to its Spanish origins. The jojoba plant grows in the American Southwest and the Sonoran Desert in Mexico. The jojoba is a large bush-like plant resembling mistletoe. It can reach a height of 15 feet and can live from 100 to 200 years. The Sonoran Indians have used the oil pressed from the jojoba beans for centuries. Father Juniper Serra, founder of 21 missions in California, noted in the early 1700s that the local Indians were using jojoba oil for treating sores, cuts, bruises, burns, and as a diet supplement, to soothe skin from sun and wind burns, as a cooking oil, and even as a beverage.
The importance of jojoba as a cash crop was proclaimed in 1935, but it was not until 1974, when the killing of sperm whales was banned, that the government began to study jojoba oil in depth as a substitute for whale oil. The National Academy of Sciences concluded, jojoba oil has a radically different chemical structure than any other known oil. Most oils break down or turn rancid. Jojoba, on the other hand, is hypoallergenic, non-toxic, never turns rancid, and does not break down even under high temperature and pressure.
The University of California at Riverside did a study where they cooked 27 batches of popcorn in the same heated jojoba oil. The last batch was just as perfect as the first. These unusual properties are unique to jojoba oil because, chemically speaking, jojoba oil is not really an oil at all, but is a liquid wax. Its composition is almost identical to sebum, which is the oil secreted by human sebaceous glands to help to protect the skin from the environment.
Jojoba has a myriad of usages. The cosmetic industry takes advantage of its compatibility to human skin by adding it to shampoos, conditioners, moisturizers, and many other cosmetic products. In medicine, jojoba can be used directly on rashes, cuts, and psoriasis. It may also be used as a lubricant for artificial hearts. Jojoba contains a natural appetite suppressant, which can be used in weight loss products. It has no known side effects. In industry, jojoba is known to be a superior engine lubricant and will cause a car to run 20 to 30 degrees cooler when added to the crankcase oil.
So, if you are interested in a miracle plant from the desert, reach for jojoba in your natural medicine chest.
We are, I guess, live, and we're getting Dr. Chmielewski here, and we're really looking forward to having her. Dr. Chmielewski, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hey, good to have you for the second half of the show. Great. So I've been talking about nervines, and I talked about the adrenal glands, and we talked a little bit about duppy basil and sarsaparilla to build up things like that. But let's just, while we have you on, let's just talk about, how did you get so interested in the herbs of Jamaica and being a naturopathic physician yourself?
Yeah, so when I was in naturopathic school is when I, you know, first kind of fell in love with the idea of this Jamaica trip. And I went down with you our first year of the program, and then knew that I wanted to keep going down forever after that first trip. It just kind of takes over when you, as soon as you, you know, get on the plane to getting off the plane and the taxi ride through the hills. And then when we arrive in the community that you've established these connections with for so long, it really just was an experience unlike any other. Connecting with the people and then letting them, you know, bring their wisdom of the plants to us and show us what they know about the earth medicine really just changed everything for me. So after going once, you know, I was kind of hooked and went continually when I was a student, and then after graduating, continued to help go along and study the plant medicines. I wrote my thesis about some of the Jamaican plant medicines, the Jamaican nervines, just because of so much interest in it all there.
Why do you think it's important for people to, like, when they're taking a vacation, to take a vacation in nature and enjoy, you know, the sunshine and the sea and be immersed in plants and that energy? Because, you know, a lot of people, when they take a vacation, it's like craziness. So what's your take on our Eco Tours for Cures program, ethnobotanical, what I call education vacation that we've set up?
Yeah, it's just that really positive vibration and reset. And we do so much throughout the trip, you know, like there's never really a dull moment, but it's not exhausting either because you're recharging the whole time you're doing it. You know, your feet are on the earth, your hands are in the soil, you're swimming in the ocean and in these beautiful private waterfalls with, you know, such charged energy that you really are able to recharge your system and reset and reground yourself at the same time as learning all these new things. And you're learning about like the science of a plant medicine, but you're also like physically learning from being in the water and what that feels like and how that resets your system and how important that is. And I know when we first went, there was no cell phones down there either, you know, at all. And so that was really nice too. You were totally disconnected from everything and had this like you know, totally otherworldly experience. Now there's Wi-Fi and things, so you can be connected if you want, but you can also be disconnected if you want. And highly recommended when you're out in the mountain or walking through the hills, the waterfalls, to disconnect and just tune into the vibrations of the earth around you.
You know, a lot of people go to Jamaica and they think it's like, you know, either it's not safe, or some people, they just, you know, want to be in this all-inclusive place, kind of locked away from nature, you know, with their own private beach. This place that we go to, talk about the place that we go to and a little bit about the amenities that we've put together on a trip.
Yeah, so we go to an area called Strawberry Fields, the resort, Strawberry Fields Together in Robins Bay. And it's, you know, you have the amenities that you need in terms of comfort and showers and, you know, a nice room, all of that. But it's also more disconnected, and you have the ocean right there. We have private beaches right at our resort, and then it's connected to these trail systems that we do all our hiking on. We also have an area called The Point, where we go out every night, where the waves crash right on either side of this point of kind of lava rock. And it's just a magical spot for looking at the stars. We have fires there, and that's a really nice charged little area to have our tea ceremonies and our late night food and everything as well. But the other thing that makes our spot really so important is the location, but also the people. You know, we're able to connect with people in the community, and, you know, bushmen in the community, cooks in the community, and have that real connection with what's happening in Jamaica and how the Jamaican people are using these herbs. So it's not this kind of superficial, disconnected approach to learning the medicines. You're really learning it from the people who use it in these ways. And that's what really brings it to a whole different level and a different kind of connection with Jamaica when you know the people from there, and you're able to just kind of dip into this community in this really sacred way, rather than it just being like you're a tourist and they're there to serve you. That's not the relationship at all. You know, they're there to teach us and to learn from them. Has really been one of the, you know, highlights of my career. So many things that I've learned from them.
Yeah, very well put. And guide us. And you know, they're interesting because many times in the rural villages of Jamaica, it's quite a trip to get to the drugstore to pick up some, you know, drugs and sundries and things like that. So people have had to rely on the forest as their source of medicine. And that to me is one of the most interesting things to me. I mean, my story, I don't even know if my listeners know my story, but I was down in Jamaica studying marine biology many years ago, you know, 40 years ago or so. And, you know, I got sick with some dysentery, and it was what didn't seem to be going away. This is when Imodium was considered a prescription. So, you know, I kind of was down there doing work and was hanging out with a friend of mine, our beloved teacher who crossed over in 2014, Jamba of the Maroons. Talk a little bit about that in a bit. And I was saying, yeah, you know, I don't, my stomach's not feeling good, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to really go to the local drugstore, because I didn't know anything about plants back then. I was studying marine biology. And he said, Norman, we'll be able to fix you up. I have an elder that I've been working with. His name is Papa Top, and he will make you some tea. So I was like, okay, you know, a little skeptical back then, you know, but man, he took me into the forest and showed me exactly what he was picking and discussed how it worked. And then they brought it back, and they, over the big fire, they cooked it down, and they told me that this tea was really going to help me. And it was prepared with such care and even spiritual energy, you know, because they were Maroon people, and the Maroons were like the first people from Jamaica to escape. Some of them were brought over as servants, some were brought as slaves. They escaped into the highlands of Jamaica and set up their own communities there. The British tried to subjugate them, but they were They were one of the only free African people on the continent way before the Civil War. Anyway, make a long story short, that tea totally cured me of my dysentery. Now, I didn't know what I was taking, but all those herbs, Dr. Chmielewski, are all anti-parasitic and powerful tannins and astringents. Maybe you can talk about how they work, but that blew me away that this guy that didn't even like probably finish high school, turns out he did, but but he knew more about the herbs than a learned, you know, Western doctor. And it was like a collision of, it was like a personal conversion that happened to me. I'm like, wow, I got to learn this stuff. And it just totally changed my life. So then I decided to leave marine biology and go to naturopathic school, which was a profession that I found out existed. Remember, this is before the internet, so it was kind of hard to find these things, where you learned about herbs. And then every time I could get, I would go down to Jamaica to learn more and more and more and more. I just had an insatiable desire to travel down there. My personal story, folks. And then, of course, later on, I went out to become a naturopathic physician and found the school that Dr. Chmielewski went to. So it's kind of an interesting circle, right, Dr. Chm?
Absolutely. So grateful for you getting sick that time and all the lives that it eventually changed because of it, you know? Yeah, I think that speaks to how, you know, powerful these bush medicines and the teas really are, you know, and that's something that's kind of a disconnect in our culture. We think that for something to be medicine and for it to work, it has to come in a pill, and that can be herbs or, you know, a pharmaceutical pill, but people are so used to just that pill taking mentality. And, you know, this idea of, like you always say, not being a UPS herbalist, your herbs don't come from Amazon.com, right? They don't come from whatever website you order them from. They come from the bush and nature. And this trip allows us to really see that in action. And I know with the tannins, like you were saying, so tannins are going to be really astringent constituents in some of our plants. They're like what makes your mouth feel dry after drinking tea, like a black tea or a green tea. Mm-hmm. And that's good for dysentery because it helps to bind things up and prevent you from having so much like loose diarrhea kind of thing. But I remember drinking some of those tannins the first trip there and like being all excited, making a tea, Saracee bitter melon tea, and picking it with the guides and my friend and I making it and being all like, yes, this is going to be great, but having no clue what it would taste like. And the guys just kind of like, you know, letting us do our things and like, okay, you're going to feel it. It's going to be strong. And then tasting it and being so, so like bitter and astringent and just like sucking up all of the moisture. But really a good experience for, I'll never forget what a tannin is, you know, after having that real tangible experience with it.
Yeah. And they used a couple of ferns, and turns out that ferns have a lot of antimicrobial properties. And, you know, many of the first and early antibiotics and antiparasitics came from ferns. I've later found out, particularly this one fern that they call rock fern. So it's really interesting that this was, and they used this other herb, the sea grape. And then they used some herbs that had some antimicrobial properties. A lot of the herbs that taste good actually were used to prevent bacteria from spoiling foods, like the allspice and the cloves and these other very strong spices. You know, spices were used before refrigeration. Actually, Jamba taught me that before refrigeration, when someone died, they would actually remove the organs and they'd pack the body filled with herbs. And that would kind of allow people, because in Jamaica, they have a tradition called the 9 days. It's like a 9 day long wake. People visit the family. They drink, they celebrate the life of the person who passed along. But, you know, after 9 days without refrigeration in a tropical country, corpse can get very, pretty decayed. And so this would prevent that. So it's interesting that those herbs were used to kill off the parasites. But on another thing, the food, Dr. Chmielewski, tell us about the food in Jamaica and how you were introduced to so many new and unusual fruits and vegetables and other amazing foods.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a part of the experience that stays with you forever as well. Not only being introduced to all these new fruits and vegetables and things that you've never even heard of before, but again, being able to literally see it being picked from a garden by your friend's hands, you know, that they grew and then turned into your meal. Or as you're walking on a hike, we said, you know, you're like, oh, I'm a little bit hungry or, you know, thirsty. And then John Boops is up a tree getting you a coconut and getting you an Ethiopian apple or whatever it is. So that was definitely a little bit of a magical part of the trip as well. And still is, he never gets old seeing him just climb up a tree like it's nothing to grab some fruit for you.
What's one of your favorite foods down there? One of my favorites, I always look forward to breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast is delicious. They do the ackee and saltfish, and ackee is super unique food. That's almost has like an egg consistency, but it comes from a fruit and you have to get it when the fruit is ripe and opens on its own. Otherwise it has some toxicity to it. But it's super, you know, unique kind of flavoring. And then they do it with some savory spices and saltfish if you eat fish. And they usually will serve that with callaloo, which is like an amaranth green, that they make with some onions and carrots and yummy things like that. And then you always get a nice spread of fresh fruit, papayas and pineapple. Star apple is a really cool, unique fruit to there. That's like this purple kind of latexy apple. And then one of my favorites that, you know, we get more out in the field than we do like for breakfast or anything is the rose apple, or also called Ethiopian apple. And those are, they kind of have more the consistency of a pear. And they're like, and how soft they are, the flesh of them. But then they have this really subtle kind of hibiscus rose flavor to them. That's just so good. And it just feels like you're eating flowers. And they're super hydrating and antioxidant and really nice when you're hiking and it's a hot day and you're in the Jamaican sun. It's like the best snack ever, especially if it's paired with a nice fresh jelly coconut.
Ah, you read my mind. Coconuts. In Jamaica, fresh coconuts are fantastic, the way that they can slice them open with their cutlass without losing their fingers and yeah, then giving you the great electrolyte. You know what, Dr. Robertson, one of our guest speakers on the tour, talked about? Now, she's coming out with a new book, so we're going to have her on the program to talk about her new book. Maybe we'll do a series on Jamaican herbs and, you know, when it launches sometime in February. But she said that the inside of a coconut, if it's not breached from the outside, is actually sterile and pyrogen free. And in the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong would puncture it with a needle, draw it up, and use that coconut water as electrolytes right in an IV fluid without like introducing germs into people, because it's going right into their system. I thought that was phenomenal, that it so matches human physiology that you can use it directly into your veins. Isn't that, well, no, we're not going to do that. I always wanted to do that on the trip, maybe bring an IV and try it.
That'd be interesting for sure. I'm sure we'd have some students who would be down for it.
Yeah.
I know that Lion and the Jamaicans always say that the coconut water washes your heart, and it has that perfect balance of electrolytes for heart medicine.
Mm. Washes the heart. Yeah, they would mix it with lime juice many times. They said it lowered cholesterol. Actually, I remember even the government in Jamaica endorsed it as a alternative to Lipitor to, you know, lower your, and it might be the sterols in that which have been found in the coconut to, you know, maybe compete with cholesterol uptake in the gut or whatever. I'm not sure the mechanism, but that's very interesting that the coconut is plenty available and in West Indies, in Jamaica, where we go on our trip and things like that. Tell us about some of the activities we do in the last 5 minutes of the program here, and then we'll talk about how people could get more information.
So a typical day for me when I'm there is usually I'll start with some yoga. There's a nice little area where you can do yoga on a flat little covered pavilion surface that just overlooks the ocean and is totally beautiful. It's kind of off to the side of the cabanas and things, so it's quiet and lovely. And then from there, either, you know, a fast swim before breakfast or go on to breakfast. And then we'll typically, after breakfast, you know, go gather our things and then go out on the excursion for the day. And those excursions can either be a nice hike to Quammen Falls, where we go through the hills, down the road through the hills, and pass Black Sand Beach and swim there. And the whole time that we're walking, you know, we're gathering medicines and we're talking about the medicine. So, you know, sometimes we've got, you know, a nice pace to eventually get to the waterfalls, but those first few bits of the trip, you know, we're barely moving because every few steps you're finding a new plant that you're falling in love with and learning about. So that's a fun aspect of it too, just the wonder of like how much medicine is all around us and how our guides know each and every plant around us and have something to teach about it, taste it, smell it, see it, feel it. Oh, the seed looks like this and therefore it's good for that, and all these interesting ways to kind of remember it. And then our guides are also just so like filled with joy and energy and charismatic. You know, oftentimes they're singing about these plant medicines and having catchy little tunes and all of these ways that like it really does resonate and stay with you. That makes it so unique and wonderful. But then, you know, we'll get to the waterfalls and take a nice swim. They even make like little bamboo rafts for folks sometimes, and you can lay on the long flank of bamboo and go under the waterfall, get a nice waterfall massage. And it's truly just a magical waterfall, Quammen Falls, that we go to.
And yeah, it's like a grotto cut out of the rainforest. I mean, this is, you're talking a 65 foot fall that you'd find also in Costa Rica and other magical places on the earth. But this is a real magical place with orchids and bromeliads festooning the trees, and oh, the water can be so fresh. So yeah, it's an amazing place. After a hot hike, to take a nice cool dip in the beautiful Quammen Falls. And there's all kinds of history, you know, which we talk about too. You learn clearly when you travel. Traveling is always the best teacher. And you learn so much about the history of the local people and their customs and their language and, their thwarting colonialism, which in the independent spirit of Jamaica with the people, the country people. So it's just a overall great experience for, I would say, some of the best photography spots in the world. I mean, are in this place in Jamaica. And it's interesting. This is the only part of Jamaica where the road, usually there's a road that circumnavigates the island, a big highway, right? A national highway. But in this particular spot, the highway goes inland and leaves, knock on wood, it stays like that, but leaves about 35 to 40 miles of coastline in a natural state that you would have found it when the Carib native people, the Carib and Arawak Indians, were the only people on Jamaica. It's just an amazing spot. It's the north coast of Jamaica that we go to. It's between Port Antonio and Port Maria, if you're looking for it on the map there. So leave us with some information about where people can find out more about this excursion, and then maybe about yourself too, Dr. Chmielewski, in the last 2 minutes of the program.
Yeah, sure. The other thing that's just magical about the trip that I got to give another little moment to is that we oftentimes at night will have a fire out on that point, and there'll be drumming, there'll be food being made. Our master chef Pinto will make these delicious meals from freshly, you know, collected produce with yam and cassava and plantain and sasumba, you know, these things called all-in-one, and, you know, pumpkin rice. And it's just really another way that's just a magical connection to the island. So for folks who are interested, you know, we've got an Instagram, Facebook, or website. It's all Ecotours for Cures. Ecotoursforcures.com is the website, and you can find everything through that. And contact us that way. On Instagram, my handle is the botanical doctor with an A at the end. And I post a lot about Jamaican plants. I also do a lot of teaching on medicinal mushrooms and other herbal medicines. And you can see some of that info on there. And then my practice is in Hamden, Connecticut, Hawthorne Holistic Health, where that's where I see patients out of and do all the other naturopathic stuff as well.
Thank you. Well, that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we hope that you stay healthy, folks. Bye-bye. And come see us in Jamaica soon. Come see it. Bye-bye. Stay healthy.